Hello, and welcome to the New Homeowner Podcast. On this week's episode, it's time to make your design selections. We're going to discuss our designer interiors program, what it is, how it makes selections easier, and how to choose the right palette for your tastes. And later in the episode, our special guest speaker is going to share what she believes is the biggest mistake new homeowners make when they're decorating their new home. Amy, Kelsey, welcome. How's it going?
Going pretty well. How about you?
Going well. It's going well. So we're going to talk designer interiors there, or decorating in general, although we're going to focus more on sort of the cabinets, flooring, things like that, carpet for this episode. So have you guys done any upgrades or projects to your home recently?
At our house, we're always doing a project. In the last year, we redid two of our bathrooms, which was significant and exciting that it's finally done.
I remember you telling me one of them at least didn't go so well.
Yeah, I would say both didn't go so well. Both had a few changes along the way. We lost some time. So the whole ordeal took about 6 months longer than we thought it would.
We did our master bathroom as well. I guess everyone did. It was kind of a crazy year, but which meant I was showering in the boys' bathroom, and then my wife was sharing my daughter's bathroom. And I just kept adding stuff to their bathroom because boys are disgusting and gross, and they hadn't done anything to sort of make it better. So I added like a new shower curtain, something in the shower to hold everything. And every week they're like, "Dad, what's going to be new in the bathroom this week?" And I was like, "I don't really even want to be in here at all, but we're going to keep making it the best we can." So that was a long time. I think ours took 6 months.
Yeah, we
August to December.
Just a little bit longer and same scenario, except the whole family shared one bathroom.
Yeah.
So we're glad that's behind us.
Another good reason to own a new home is that you don't need to renovate anything right away. Maybe, you know, 10 or 15 years from now, you might want to change some things around, but
I thought about that every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were in the same boat. I guess last year was the year of bathroom remodels. We also did our master bath, and my husband took everything on himself.
Wow.
With the help of just my dad for some tile work. But I think he may have bit off a bit more than he could chew. So yeah, I think in the future we'll be hiring contractors.
It did seem like the selection process was challenging. You know, it's like, here's five tiles. Here's what the sink could look like. Here's what the shower could look like. I'm just like, make a decision. Just let me scan some pictures and pick it. But it really just doesn't work that way when you're doing remodel.
It's definitely overwhelming.
Literally texted what I liked to Krista, who'll be joining us shortly, and said, pick one for me. Yeah. It's too much.
That's what you need. You need a professional. Mm-hmm. Let's bring Krista into the podcast. Krista, welcome. You're the special guest.
Awesome. I'm so happy to be here today.
We've all known you for a very long time. We know your design skills. I'm remembering, was it a couple years ago, you had like a major flood due to a bathroom issue upstairs, which when you emailed me, you were like, I have a major problem at my house. This is horrible. This is the worst thing. And I was like, I feel really bad. But like 2 weeks later, you came in really excited. You're like, I get to choose everything new again. I'm going to redo all of this. So did you guys get all that done? How's it look?
We did. It looks great. We, you know, it's one of those, it was really stressful when it happened. Like your heart broke that so many things were ruined in your home, but we were able to make lemonade out of lemons, as they say, and really redo pretty much our whole house. There's a couple of areas we still have left, but we've been busy just working on a lot of projects.
So since you're sort of a design person by trade and you have experience with that, was it fun or was it challenging to put these things together, the tile, the cabinets, everything?
I love it.
You
so
loved
it, was it fun.
So you were like, this is
yes,
good.
It's right up my alley. I love it every second of it.
Let's just talk about that experience. You've been in the industry for a number of years. Just give us a little background on what you've been doing.
Sure, sure. Before I came to Ryan Homes, I worked for another builder. Finally, I came to the good side, right? And I've really helped a lot of customers with making selections for their homes. I've worked on a lot of model homes, even decorated models in my past. So it's really my passion is really making spaces special for people to enjoy.
Any projects past that renovation?
Of course, of course. So it's like the finishing touches. You know, one thing we just did was in our dining room, we got rid of our old like hutch that we had for years and did a built-in. My husband's pretty handy. We both love this kind of thing. And we bought cabinets at like Lowe's. We painted them and we made this awesome butler's pantry kind of dry bar, which it's functional and beautiful. And I love it.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I get to store my Instant Pots in there.
That's good. Are you cooking anything in the Instant Pot right now? Because it's about 100 degrees outside. Listeners, if you're listening, it's wintertime, it's freezing. I'm sorry, but right now it's almost July and it's like the hottest I think I've ever seen it. It's crazy.
I'll have an Instant Pot meal this week, I'm sure, but tonight it's the grill.
Do you care to share your Instagram with us? Because I know you're popular on Instagram.
Sure.
Here we go. First plug.
I know. I keep my work stuff kind of off of it, but I'd love to put more work stuff on it. It's KMD Peterson. And I've got, if you like dogs and you like cooking.
I love both of those things.
My kids are a little bit older. There are some kid pics. It's fun.
Very nice. Lot of weekend projects on there too.
Yes.
I always feel, because you tend to post them late Sunday, like right as dinner's starting, like you're already done. And I'm like, I'm so lazy. I'm ordering something. I didn't prepare
this.
Yeah,
last night I had to make a really nice clams and spaghetti dinner because I couldn't make Sunday dinner. We always have a nice Sunday dinner. But we were cleaning out our basement because we have company coming this weekend.
Nice. So we're going to talk about our designer interior palettes. Now, we didn't always do our interior selections this way. Long ago, and still today, many builders, what we had a while ago and what some builders have today is a design center. So you would drive to this place, you walk in, and I remember I've been to a couple of them. You walk in, you go, wow, look at all the stuff. This is the coolest thing. And that's your initial reaction. And then after about 10 minutes, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed. Way too much stuff. Half the stuff I can't afford. I don't know which part I can afford, what I can choose. And I literally remember being in there with my wife. She couldn't make a decision. I couldn't make a decision. We're fighting back and forth. The person who's helping us is kind of frustrated. And that's a very common experience with design centers.
It really is. I joke, it's the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. It's very overwhelming because you don't know where to start, how it's all going to look together, and what it's going to cost you, like you just said.
And one of our founding principles at Ryan Homes has been create a better customer experience. And we looked at this design center thing, and it was really hard because a lot of customers said, I want to have all the choices, right? And they're telling us one thing. But then when we actually talk to people who go through that experience, they say, that was really not fun for me. Now, there are some people like you, okay? There's a small percentage of the population goes, I love it. Give me all the choices. I'll sit here for hours and you'll make all the right choices. But we also used to see homes and people were really upset because they chose red carpet for one room and purple carpet for another room and things that didn't match. And here's this brand new home. It looks nothing like the model home. In fact, sometimes the home's value would go down because it wasn't marketable anymore. And if they did want to sell it, they'd say, well, rip out all this carpet, put in these neutral matching colors, paint it this. So we really decided, look, that's not good for most people. And what I want to talk about today is helping people understand why the designer interior palettes is a much better way to go and kind of how we come around, how we design those palettes and why the restrictions are there.
Yeah, so let's not call them restrictions.
Not restrictions, you're
right. I'm just joking. But, you know, I think about every time when we first started thinking of designer interiors, we were at a showroom somewhere in Maryland, and there was a customer there. I think they were there for another builder, and had everything laid out. They wanted all these things. They didn't know what it was going to cost. They were so overwhelmed, and we were putting these palettes together. We had manufacturers and designers, and we said, would you like if we had shown you all of these in like four different sets? Yeah. And you could have just picked from that. And the guy's like smiling, like that would have been heaven. Because again, you said it, they think it's going to be so grand, but you go in and it's overwhelming. You don't know what to choose. And the biggest thing is a lot of our customers, for the most part, let's just say we had 20 floors, 4 to 5 were what they picked. The rest were just noise. Like they were just sitting there overwhelming people. They would want it, but it was too expensive. And so we really took a note from that.
Yeah. So we do keep track of, you know, over the years, we've always kept track. What did people choose? What did they end up putting in their house? And so we had all that data and the percentage of people that were choosing certain things was just so low. And you're right. There were people that just said, can you just package some of this stuff let me choose from 4 or 5 things, maybe swap out 1 or 2 things like the cabinet styles. And that's what we ended up calling DI or designer interior palettes.
That's right. Right. That's right.
And we named each one.
That's right. They're inspired from places around the world, and they kind of each have a different style. And we'll talk about them a little bit more.
Well, let's talk about them right now.
Okay, great. So you kind of nailed it. We have like 3 to 4 palettes within a community, and they can vary by community. We really look at what's going to be popular for the buyer profile in our different communities. And today we're talking about first-time home buyers. And so we're really looking at giving them really good finishes that are going to be affordable and really stand the test of time and like work for their lifestyle and be what people want today in their new home.
I do remember when I was selling homes, my homeowners time and time again said, tell me what's popular.
Mm-hmm, they always
tell me what everybody here likes. And so I think so much thought went into making that simple for people.
You're right, Amy. That was always when I worked in a design center, they'd be like, what do you like? What's popular? What does everyone want? And there's going to be people, like you said it earlier, that not everyone wants what's most popular, but what's good is these are the hardscapes of their home, right? So then they can make things different once they move in. So you don't have to worry like, oh, this is going to look just like, my house is going to look just like Kelsey's house or just like Amy's, because it's not by the time they do everything else. These are just the backbone of the house and the hardscapes.
So you're not setting the entire design aesthetic for your house. We can talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Decorating your house once you move in. This is just really like the base foundation of your design.
That's right. You talked about the mistakes, right, that people make. And so I always have an analogy for designer interiors that makes people laugh. And when I was a kid, and also when my kids were little, there's a line of clothes called Garanimals. I don't know if anyone's familiar with it, but when you go into the store, you would see a blue, like say a gorilla, and then you'd look for the bottoms for that, and then the top, or a pink hippo. The pink hippo had a top that matched. So everything coordinated. And that's how designer interiors is also. We've laid things out to work together. So if you said you can pick your cabinet in some communities, the cabinet's tied to the palette, but in others, you can pick that cabinet. But we've looked at it and made sure that the floor that's in that palette works with all the cabinets that we're offering in that community. Yeah.
So you really can't mess up.
You can't mess up. We foolproofed it. And we hired those designers and our manufacturers to make sure we're offering the best quality, good material, and great colors.
Yeah, I've been following sort of your emails and updates, and it seems like every month there's an update on, we have a slightly better product, or this is better now, or this coordinates better, or we're updating the palette. So you're getting the latest and greatest that we can find out there without putting you at risk of something that might be a little too edgy or is going to be outdated, you know, in a year or two, in addition to, like you said, durability, scalability. If I have dogs, which I do and you do, mm-hmm. So that's probably a good thing that you have them. You're probably thinking about it too. Are these going to stand the test of time for some dogs? I mean,
yeah. So we have different flooring, and one of the things that we have is called LVP, luxury vinyl plank. Some people call it luxury vinyl tile. It's pretty much the same thing. And what's so wonderful about it is so resistant to the pet scratches, and it's so durable. It has that look and feel of real hardwood without the upkeep. I unfortunately have real hardwood. Boy, would I like to put some of this new LVP in my house with my dogs and kids and all of that. But it's really that, as well as the quartzes that are out there, they give you that look of, you know, that marble look, but with that low maintenance. Same with our granites. As long as you seal the granite, it's really great and easy to keep clean, much better than the old Formica days, like when you might have had an apartment that you rented.
I'm in the process of trying to convince my husband that we need new LVP because we have two crazy dogs that are just scratching up our floors. But Krista, I know you've talked about the cabinets and the flooring. What other elements make up the palette?
Sure. So to kind of walk you through it, when you look at a palette and what somebody writes the contract, hopefully most of you already have, and you've seen these really cool DI boards, we call them, on the wall in the sales office. You come in and you can see you've got your countertop for your kitchen. You've got your hard surface. So that could be vinyl. It could be LVP, or it could be like an engineered hardwood. We also have the carpet, and then whatever goes in the bathroom. So that could still be LVP, or it could be tile. It all depends on that palette. And those are selected at the community level and what they're going to offer. And then you can also do something really cool where you take that hard surface, so that LVP we're talking about, and you can extend it into like your great room. People love that, to not show as much carpet in those living areas with the dogs and kids for spills. And then also the bathroom countertop is on there. So that's kind of that hardscape, that lockup of what's going to go into all those main spaces in your home. And then you can pick the cabinet. So did you want a linen cabinet? Did you want a wood tone? Did you want espresso and gray? Those are like our three most popular right now. I'm in the world of cabinets.
Does each palette cost the same? Because you know, when you go in the design center, it's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's $8,000. So is there a price tag on each palette? How does that work?
Right. So we try to work in tiers, and it's going to vary by the house type. You know, if you have a lot more LVP in one house, it's going to cost more than a house that's a little bit smaller. But we always have an included palette that comes with the home. And then from there, we try to create like a stair step, if you think. So you might have a base or an included palette. Then you'd go to like a mid palette, and then there may be a reach or an upper palette. And each community, like I said, offers 3 to 4. So you'd either have, you know, so there's a breadth of affordability there so that we can try to fit the needs of our different home buyers.
That's good. And if you're like me, which I am looking at maybe all 4 palettes, they're right on the wall in the sales center. So you get to see them. And then obviously the model home that you're in, if there is one for the community, and usually there is, it's also, we've already chosen a palette for that
That's
one. So
right.
you get to
you
see
can pick
one.
That one.
You
That's
can pick
right.
that one if you want, I guess.
And usually in most of our communities, you can also walk other palettes that they offer. One of the greatest things to do is look at our virtual tours. So each palette, we have a virtual tour where you can open the link and you can click through and kind of fly through or walk yourself through the rooms so you can get a sense of what that DI palette looks like in that space. We also have a lot of photography. I always tell people to start in the model. The model's the best, like you just said. Then you might have some production homes, other people's homes. There could be a second model or nearby models you could look at. The community website, you know, that community page is going to have a lot of photography for you to look at. But the virtual tours are really, people love those. And we have awesome collateral that shows like pictures of what all of, kind of like Pinterest inspired, where you can see a picture of what the different materials are in that palette, and then the cabinet flyer as well. So you get a real sense of how everything works together.
I'm waiting for the headset thing, the Oculus 2, like from Facebook. I'm excited for that. I know someday we'll have it. We can just walk through like a completely designed house, but we're not quite there yet.
I'm waiting for a visualizer.
Visualizer. This is something we talk about internally all the time. Each year we look at like, okay, could we get a VR thing? Can we stick this on someone's head so they can just literally walk through their house? And we test it out. We bring people in and it's not there yet.
It's not realistic enough.
Photos are still the best. So we're going to take a quick break right now. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the joys and pitfalls of using Pinterest for your inspiration.
Hey, homeowners, it's Kelsey with the new Homeowner Podcast. If you ask me, the best neighbors you could have are your friends and family. Send them to ryanhomes.com to get in touch with your community sales team or just to browse local communities in their area. That's ryanhomes.com. Now back to the podcast.
Welcome back. Pinterest is another option you talked about. You know, that's probably the next place you want to go to, but tell me what to avoid. If I'm scrolling through Pinterest, talk to me about that.
I have some mistakes to avoid there.
Okay, let's do it.
So when people go to Pinterest, what happens is we don't know the dollars there, right? So a lot of the gorgeous kitchens or homes are just, you know, very custom, very expensive. So it's great to go there for inspiration. Same with Instagram. I know when Amy was redoing her bathroom, she looked at a lot of pictures. When I did my wet bar, I looked at a lot of pictures. So it was good to give me inspiration, but I couldn't go for that complete built-in look. I had to kind of DIY it myself for affordability. So you have to be careful with Pinterest with budget, because you can have that champagne taste, you know, with possibly a ginger ale budget. And then the other thing is overwhelming yourself with different styles. So that's a big pitfall with Pinterest house, where you start looking and pinning all these different things. And all of a sudden it's like a smorgasbord of, you know, looks, where you kind of have to think about what's going to work for you and kind of stay true to a style. I'm all about eclectic, but it can get a little bit busy if you're not careful.
But I think what you coached me through when I was going through that is that you start to see the things that you pin the most, and it helps you narrow down your overall looks that you like, and then you can make a choice from there.
That's right. And I tend to like start bringing my stuff back up to the top and moving the things like I started pinning, okay, those aren't working. I pull them down or I just delete them, and you start to bring the things up. And then I even do one other thing is where I start taking pictures of the real space. Like you might take it up one of our models. And then you pin that and you can kind of see the different materials, different furnishings once you grow and how it'll all look together in the room. Pinterest is great for that, for saving your own things as well, like a collage board, like yes, your vision board for your room.
I was looking through, just to prep for the show, some different design trends from the different decades. And I remember seeing the 80s ones. It looked just like my parents' house. It was like big floral curtains and
borders everywhere.
And borders everywhere and wallpaper. But I was thinking, I was like, well, this really isn't part of our palette. We're not choosing curtains or borders or wallpaper or even paint for you. This is really the foundation of your home. So I feel better in terms of confidence, like, okay, this is my starting point, as you were saying. This isn't going to dictate exactly how my house looks. You could walk into the same house with the same palette in your neighborhood, and you will, and you feel like you're in a completely different house. I know in our neighborhood, there's 3 or 4 neighbors we know that have our same model. And one of them has just about the same selections we had. And yeah, the way that they design their layout and the furniture and how they're using it, feels like a different house.
You just put in your backsplash, your lights, your own furnishings, paint on your wall. Everything will feel very different. You nailed it, Jason. It's really that hardscape or that backbone. You don't have to stress about it. And I tell people, one of my tips with it is, what's going to make you happy? I have so many people that stress on like, do I do white or espresso? White or espresso? And you have to step back and kind of like get out of your own head and say, what's going to make me happy? When I look at that picture and that model, or I walk into that model, where's the joy I feel in my heart? I know it can sound corny and where's I do love joy? Design, but it's like, what are you going to wake up to with your coffee every morning? What are you going to go to bed and be like, turn off your lights and be like, this is my home. I love this. You can't worry about what everyone else says or what everyone else is putting up. It's like your own happiness and what are you going to like every day when you're wiping down those kitchen counters? You know, what do you want to see? And that's where you have to let your decisions, so you can have confidence. You can't second guess. You could pick every palette and be happy with it because they're all fabulous. But you have to say, okay, what's my winner? What's going to look best?
It's kind of like when you're naming your kids.
Yeah.
First, you have to yell it out loud in the house. Like, okay, can I say that 1,000 times? Because I know I'm going to have to. And then is someone going to make fun of them when they go to school? Like, are they going to get teased for this name? Is someone going to walk in and be like, I can't believe you chose purple cabinets, which we don't have any purple.
We don't have purple. No, we don't. And we won't anytime soon.
Right. You know, I think it's helpful to visualize it and think about sitting down and kind of, What sparks your joy?
That's right. Marie Kondo. You went in our model. Most of the time they fell in love with that model home, right? Yeah. They saw that. They were in it to win it. And so that's why so many people pick what's in the model because they can visualize it. But at the end of the day, it's got to be what's going to make you happy.
Yeah, I feel like a few years ago when I bought my home, the gray trend was really strong. And not saying it's not still a trend and doesn't still look good in a home, but it was kind of the number one trend at the time. And my gut was telling me, I just don't think I love it. So I went with more grayish tones, beigey, and now
wait. Gray was the style and you went with grayish?
I went with grayish.
Grayish. You really went out on a limb, Kelsey.
Yes, I really did. I took a huge risk. Gray and beige.
I don't want gray.
But
I'll take grayish.
You thought about how you're going to live in the home.
Exactly.
Your lifestyle. You knew, okay, every one of my friends has cold gray. And Kelsey wanted
that's what it is.
Warm.
Cool gray versus warm gray.
That's right.
Warm gray spoke to me more, a.k.a. grayish.
I got it. I'll ask for that color at the paint store. Did you guys know I used to work at a paint store?
Oh, we do.
That was like one of my first jobs.
We've heard the story.
Oh. I love it.
I have not had the pleasure, so you might have
to. Yeah, my first job was working at a paint store, paint and wallpaper and carpet. So it wasn't just paint. And I used to help people pick colors out. And everyone would go for like the darkest, boldest color. Like, I got to do something really bold in this room. And I'm like, you'll be back. You'll be back for the light gray or the beige.
Yes. The bold colors in moderation are always good.
These contractors totally tricked me once. They knew I was a rookie. I was like only in my second week. And they came in and they said, we need 5 gallons of swirl paint. I was like, swirl paint? Like, yeah, we're doing a striped room. It's light purple, dark purple. So we need 5 gallons of that. So I like went to the back. I got the 5 gallon bucket and I put it up on the thing to start adding the color. And he had given me the 2 colors. And right before I did, I was like, wait a second. There's no swirl paint. And they were just laughing.
This isn't
oh my gosh.
Ice cream.
No, it just mixes
thinking.
Together.
I was thinking the same thing.
They were rolling and I felt so dumb. I was like, well, I'm 15. I guess I don't know much
yet.
Oh, that's fair.
I love it.
Life lessons.
Grayish. Krista, what else should we know?
Yeah. So I think what we said was, to make it easier for yourself, you do have to do a little bit of, I don't want to call it homework, but like research into what you want. You've probably looked at a lot of models. You've gone onto our website. I definitely recommend looking at the collateral and some virtual tours, really thinking about how you live in the home, like what materials work good for you if you have pets or kids. And again, not stressing about how it's all going to look because we've tied it all together. You've really got to think about have that fun and start thinking about once you move in, how are you going to decorate, yeah. Make it your own.
I do see on the different Facebook groups, as their home gets to completion, they're almost done, people sharing kind of how their palette looks in their home. And then a lot of times later, what projects they've done, even in the first couple months to really make it their own. And it's really interesting how people go in different directions and do different things.
For sure. I think, one of the big things is picking your style and not kind of making it be like competing styles everywhere, kind of thinking through how it all going to work together.
So I can't have like Washington Nationals theme baseball room. Is that going to be allowed?
You can do whatever you want if it makes you happy. That's the
maybe,
theme.
Maybe Jen won't want it all the way through the house.
No,
that's not a good
you
idea.
Could have it in like one room and it could be in your basement. Maybe
could do red.
That's
all
the rule
the
of
house.
Our house, the basement.
The basement. The space goes.
Yeah, your man cave cannot be visible to the rest of the home. It needs to be tucked away.
All bobbleheads and accoutrement. Go downstairs.
I was given free reign of the basement for a while, and I'll tell you, it looked really ugly. I was not happy with it after a while. So we just went to the grayish and new flooring. That was one of the projects we've done. So
did you put your new floor in yet?
Yeah.
What LVP. Did you end up with LVP?
LVP.
One of the colors
fantastic.
I sent you, maybe?
Yes, I did email Krista. I was like, I can't decide. Help me.
Seems to be a trend.
It is a trend.
It works great. Now, the dog does slide a lot on it, so we need a few rugs here and there, but she can do whatever she wants. Doesn't scratch, doesn't dent. So that's awesome.
There's one thing I thought would be really important to emphasize for our new homeowners who are listening, and that's that your first instinct with your selection is generally the right one. Because I know I see on our groups that people have debates and they're not sure if they made the right decision, but I think it's true with so many things in life. Go with your first instinct.
That's right. Trust that instinct. Don't second guess yourself on everything. Because like I said, you can second guess yourself to death, right? And you've got to really figure out what's going to make you happy and trust that instinct, what you really like. You can't listen to all your friends. I think you said that too before, Kelsey. Like, you're going to have a lot of different people telling you what to do or what you should do. And you've really got to go back to what's going to make you and your family, what's going to make you happy, and trust your instincts for sure.
It took me a long time to get there. I definitely had 2 wedding dresses, for example, because I changed my mind and kept looking at magazines after the first one, but I wore the original one that I bought. So it's true and translate to everything in life.
Yeah, we want people to feel really confident that, you know, we have an entire design team. Like, we have our VP of architecture, design, we have designers, we have manufacturers, we have all the data. So you can't go wrong with the palettes that we have. They are the most popular. They're good materials. So you just have to figure out like which one's going to work best for you and your budget and your investment in your home.
Well, let's get to our tip. We talked about one of the biggest mistakes new homeowners make, probably anybody in their first home, whether they own it or not, in terms of decorating. And we don't encourage anyone to go out, you know, before the home's done and settled and buy a bunch of furniture or put a bunch of stuff on your credit card. That's not going to be good for your credit score. So don't do that. But you can start thinking about it and start planning. And so tell us, what is that big mistake?
So I think what you need to look at is each room in your home can be a little bit unique, but you want to have some type of a common thread, just like we did with DI, right? A common thread that kind of links your spaces. So there's, if it's a color, if it's some type of themed artwork, something that ties your spaces together from one room to the other so you have that cohesive feel. I've been in a lot of homes where it's like a departure from each other, right? So you might come into a flex room and that's got like one totally different look. And then you go into the great room, which may not look good with the kitchen and the dining, you know, eating area. So yeah, just really thinking about what links your spaces together. I know for Amy, it's hot pink. For me, it's navy blue. Kelsey, what color? Grayish. You know, you might have a
grayish black.
Right. I have a lot of black too. So there's got to be something that brings the spaces together and kind of unifies it. But really look at like multifunctional space is good too in your home area and how you're going to use it. But think about how you can like tie everything together.
You can see rooms. I mean, a lot of the plans are open. Yeah. So it's not like it's closed behind a closed door and you're like, oh, when I open this, it'll be a whole different thing. You're passing by this room or that room. And so your eye can be very distracted if there's no cohesion at all, no linking elements.
That's right. You'll notice in our model homes, we've linked. I mean, we might have something like a cute special girls' room or something in the boys' room, but most of the time you're going to see that we have a theme with a color. It's black and gold or it's navy and taupe. And there's something that links our spaces together. The artwork could be a little more fun, maybe in a laundry room or a hall bath, but you feel cohesive when you walk into our models. And we're trying to showcase like the architecture of the home. And we want, you know, sort of to show that livability of it.
No hot pink?
Not in a girl's room. We might have some pink tones, some blush.
Listen, I'm setting the trend.
You are. I have some pink too.
I don't have any pink in our house, but Charlotte does, my daughter. She has a little bit.
See, yeah. The girls' room.
Or the boys could have pink too.
That's right.
I'm on a soccer team right now and our jersey is pink. So
there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
That's for sure.
So let's recap real quick the big picture for everybody. So this is your first house, right? So you've signed your contract and a lot of times the selection is made that same day. Like I said, the palettes are there. You walk the model home. So you've got the contract, selections made. We talked with Ronnie last week about your loan application. So that's underway.
Oh, I love Ronnie.
Isn't Ronnie great?
He's great.
He's great. Then they're going to be building your house. But before then, there's a little bit of a period in between sort of what you'll see as loan app and temporary approval. And then when you actually start to see stuff happen with your house. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Finally, you'll have your settlement. This entire time, you have your entire team behind you. You got your sales rep is still with you and will be with you for the entire process. Your loan officer, your project manager, who's the person who's managing the build of your house. We're going to talk with probably at least one, but probably two we'll really dive into spending some time in what's happening while your house is being built, your settlement coordinator, and then your warranty manager. So your team is there with you. Krista is there with you and the design palettes that you're choosing. And next week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the preparation going on behind the scenes before we start building your home. We'll talk with two guest speakers who will shed some light on what's actually going on during this period that may seem quiet, but trust us, there's a lot happening behind the scenes, from permits to materials coming into our manufacturing facilities to local restrictions and things that are happening with the county or township that you're in. So we'll get into that next week. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay in the loop with future episodes, and visit newhomeowner.com to submit any questions or topics for future episodes. If you have a friend who's looking for a new home, please share our podcast with them so they know what to expect as a new home buyer, and have them visit ryanhomes.com to check out communities in their area. We'll see you next time. Bye.